Well, good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. All our musicians are away, so we have recorded music playing on the PowerPoint. So I know that's harder to sing to, so sing your best. So would you please stand? And our first hymn is For the Fruits of All Creation. Let's get volume. The Lord be with you. The Lord is near to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all that fear him, hears their cry and saves them. Let us pray. O God, with whom we wrestle until the break of day, make us long to seek your face beyond the limits of our strength, that in our wounds we may remember you, and in your blessing we may find ourselves. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life was preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. For the word of the Lord. Will you say the every second verse with me today for the Psalm 17? Hear my just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Listen to my prayer that comes from no lying lips.
A judgment for me come forth from your presence, and let your eyes discern the right.
Though you search my heart and visit me in the night time, though you try me by fire, you will find no wickedness in me.
My mouth does not transgress like the mouth of others, for I have kept the word of your lips.
My steps have held firm in the way of your commands, and my feet have not stumbled from your paths.
I call upon you.
Show me the wonders of your steadfast love, O Saviour of those who come to you for refuge, who by your right hand deliver them from those that rise up against them.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. It is not as though the word of God had failed. For not all Israelites truly belong to Israel, and not all of Abraham's children are his true descendants. But it is through Isaac that descendants shall be named after you. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as descendants. Or the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please will you stand as we sing our next hymn, Open Our Eyes, Lord.
Thank you.
reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. You may remember the last few weeks we've been reading about the parables of Jesus in answer to the question, what is the kingdom? So we had lots of parables of about sowers and seeds and yeast and pearls of great price and things like that. And now we've moved on, and it seems like we're moving, changing pace. We now have a miracle story. But really, in Matthew's gospel, as he's putting it together, he's still answering the same question. He's still answering the question, what is the kingdom like? And Jesus is effectively acting a power. It's a physical parable going on, or what's going on as we play Raider and the insufficient bum. A cup of cookies. So the question that we need to look at is not get too worried about, well, how did it happen? And I know we are 21st century enlightened people of the Enlightenment. We like asking questions. We want to know, how did it happen? What happened here? But the question really is, why did it happen? And why did Matthew think it was so important to actually record it and tell it to his people and tell it to us now? In fact, it's so important that this is the only miracle story that all 4 gospel writers actually include. It's the only, other than the resurrection, that's a miracle story, and that is included by everyone as well. So it must have been thought of by the early church, and the gospel writers are writing for the early church in the second half of the first century. It was important. And I think the key here comes in verse 14, when we hear that Jesus had compassion for them, had compassion for the crowd. And this is much more than 5,000. It's probably nearer 10,000. People there. For the early church, they were, as we all often remember, they were an oppressed minority. And they were certainly sort of they were oppressed by the Romans, they were oppressed by the Jews as well because of what they were doing. But for them, this was a story of God's compassion. And God's abundant provision would have been a great source of hope. And for those who came from a Jewish background, which Matthew's community almost certainly did, there are clear similarities and clear ties into the stories in the Old Testament where God had provided abundantly. Think of the Exodus story when God provided manna in the wilderness. It's an obvious one. Or the account of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings. And there was a time of drought, and the prophet came to the widow, and she shared what little she had. Probably just the crumbs is all she had, but she shared them with the prophet. And he said, For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. It's a miraculous provision for that woman who responded to the call of the prophet, to helping the prophet. Elijah, there's a story of Elisha as well, who fed 100 people with just a few barley loaves, and they went round with food to spare. So clearly, this story here has those echoes back to the Old Testament. So the story that the Gospel writers recount is for people who had followed Jesus to a desolate place. Jesus gone out there because he's just heard at the beginning. So, well, when Jesus heard this, you may have asked, well, what did he hear? Well, maybe if you've ever noticed paper, I've told you, he'd heard about the death of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, his cousin, but his forerunner, the forerunner who came before him, who's been killed by Herod and his wife Herodias on a whim, almost. So Jesus has gone off to pray. But everybody comes. Everybody wants to hear Jesus. He's been healing people. They want to come back for that. And then in this desert place, people come and it gets dark and people get cold and hungry. And the disciples say, well, send them home. But home was quite a long way around. They come all the way around the lake to get there. And Jesus has compassion for them. Jesus, just as Jesus had taken care, God had taken care of God's people in the past, God was going to take care of God's people then, and God takes care of God's people today. So we have the story, the embodied story of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a way of being, it's a way of responding, it's a way of going on. And nobody got left out. Matthew gives a contrast to the bit verses we didn't read, the feast that Herod had for his wife and his daughter. Only certain people were invited to that. You had to be important in the hierarchy to come. But at Jesus's feast in the desert place, everybody was invited. Everybody could come. So we can see the why of a miracle. What is going on here? Jesus showing compassion. You may still ask a question, well, how? Well, I'm an engineer, I was a physicist before then. I like asking what are how questions. I'm sure many of you do as well. And people have thought of, come with different theories over the years. Maybe there was a literal multiplication of the loaves and fishes. God is all powerful. Yes, it could have happened. But when we start thinking about that, we are run into some trouble, I think, with why did it happen then? Does it only happen for Jesus? Does it happen today? We ask questions, which is probably a whole another sermon about there. Or we could say, well, it couldn't have happened like that because the first law of thermodynamics says that you can't create anything out of nothing. You can't get a free lunch, as well as I was telling those who were at camp yesterday. We've heard my sermon on Isaiah from there. But if we take that too far, that nothing can happen that doesn't actually obey the scientific laws, well, then we have to conclude that God can't exist. And that's the Dawkins idea of the world. So we have to go, we can't really go down that way anyway. So see where I'm saying is trying to ask the question of how runs us into trouble. The other view maybe is that it was a gift that when everybody did actually have a packed lunch with them. Because they'd been out traveling, they were, of course they would. At least those who weren't the 5,000 men, the 5,000 women probably did have a packed lunch with them, maybe. And so when the disciples started sharing the little they had, everybody then shared. And that's a miracle as well, a miracle of how that goes. And 12 baskets of leftovers, well, where did they come from? The abundance, the miracle of this, however it happened. What is important is in this situation, God saw, took the little that there seemed to be, and he offered a blessing. And maybe the blessing he offered would have been the Jewish blessing that begins, "Blessed are you, Lord God, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth." That was a traditional Hebrew blessing over a meal. And then he invited people to share in a sign of the kingdom and a sign of a transformation in their heart. How? I don't know. I can muse. Why? Yes, Jesus' compassion. What does it show? It shows the signs of the kingdom. It shows that Christ was there. And in that case, the weary found rest, the hungry was fed. This is something that has continued throughout the ages, that where Christ is, the weary find rest, the hungry soul is fed. Amen. I forgot to put any music in, I was too busy. Sorry. No, you don't want that. If I start singing, June's got the mute switch at the back. So let's stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one
at the end of the prayers today, I'll just say, "Lord, in your mercy," and you say, "Hear our prayer." O God, with whom we wrestle until the break of day, make us long to seek your face beyond the limits of our strength, that in our wounds we may remember you, and in your blessing we may find ourselves. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray for those in the world, for those suffering through the Canadian wildfires. We pray for a lasting peace for those trying to find it in the Middle East. We also pray for anyone affected by the earthquake in the Kumamoto province of Japan. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our colleagues spread all around the world, from different creeds, colours, classes. We pray especially today for the Church of the Province of Uganda, the Diocese of Adelaide, Bradley Billings, Assistant Bishops, Sophie Ralph, Christopher, Timothy Harris and Chris McLeod, and the clergy and its people. We pray for the parish of Toowoomba, St James, Melissa Conway, Bev Thorogood, John Bryce Davies, Gar Shaw, David Snape, Laurel Raymond, Matthew Weatherly, Ram Baldock, David Dean, Jeffrey Reeder, and Peter Mahan. We pray for the staff of the Archbishop's office and Joseph and Howard Munro. We pray for the school I went to, Anglican Church Grammar School, East Brisbane, Headmaster Alan Campbell, Chaplain Sharon Mitchell, late Chaplain Stephanie Cotroneo, Chair of School Council, Constantine Castriosis, and members of the School Council staff and students. Pray that they continue their great work. And Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those taking the more difficult path of taking your world to the difficult parts of the world. And we pray for their enduring success. Today we pray for our missionary partners, Danny Mills, the Scripture Union chaplain at Wellers Hill State School. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those shaping our youngest minds and bringing your word to future generations. We pray that they grow in knowledge of your great love. Today we pray for our local schools and colleges. We pray for Wellers Hill Primary, Junction Park Primary, and Maruka Primary. And in your mercy, we pray for those around us, those we spend our time worshipping with here in our parish. We pray especially for those still at camp that they have a safe journey back. And we pray for the rest of our parish. And we especially today give thanks for the receipt of the operational license for Little Angels Tarragindi. And pray for those involved in working towards an opening date. We pray and thank for those who got us through the sea of bureaucracy to this, and we pray for their amazing success in the future. That is the Early Learning Centre. Lord, we thank you for this, and in your mercy, we pray for those who are having a hard time at the moment, either that being stress, illness, or disease. We pray for those who are sick, frail, or emotionally stressed. And today especially we pray for Ryan, Sharon L, David, Peter, Lauren, Rita, Don, Margaret, Peter F, Maxine and Robin McElnay, Glenn and Rose, Lon McNeil, Scott Lawler, and Tim Vazella. Please bring comfort and healing to them. And in your mercy, Lord, we pray for those who have left us, who've gone on to live in the eternal joy of your promise. And today, we pray for those from our parish book of remembrance, Kim Leanne Goodwin, Joan Evelyn Warbrick, Sheila Dorothy Crinier, Nasa Rega Elkington, Roy Wanacott Dowling, Janet Marion Hiley, Mary Ann Rock, Dennis Thomas Lee, Bertram Fransom Greshheimer, and Victor Francis Burgess. We also give thanks to the life of Ian Basham and pray for his family at this time. Lord, in your mercy,
accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy, welcoming sinners and inviting them to the Lord's table. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith with a sincere and a true heart. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ.
The Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. How many on Zoom, June? Peace be with you. As we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, faithful God, always and everywhere. For with your only begotten Son and life-giving Spirit, you are the one true God, from everlasting to everlasting. At the dawn of time, you wrought from nothing a universe of beauty and splendor, bringing light from darkness and order from chaos. You formed us, male and female, in your image, and endowed us with creative power. We turned away from you, but you did not abandon us. You called us by name and searched us out, making a covenant of mercy, giving the law and teaching justice by the prophets. And so we praise you, joining with your faithful people every time and place, singing the eternal song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When the fullness of time was come, you sent your Son to be born of Mary. Bright image of your glory, he learnt obedience to you in all things, even to death on a cross, breaking the power of evil, freeing us from sin, and putting death to flight. You raised him from death, exalting him to glory, and the new day dawned. On the night he was betrayed, your Son Jesus Christ shared food with his friends, his companions on the way. While at table, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and giving it to them said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took a cup of wine, and giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, living God, as we obey his command, we remember his life of obedience to you, his suffering and death, his resurrection and exaltation, and his promise to be with us forever. With this bread and this cup, we celebrate his saving death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept, we pray, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and send your Holy Spirit upon us and our celebration, that all who eat and drink at this table may be strengthened by Christ's body and blood to serve you in the world. As one body and one holy people, may we proclaim the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom, with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, eternal God, now and forever. Blessing and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament for the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Living God, in this holy meal, you fill us with new hope. May the power of your love, which we have known in word and sacrament, continue your saving work among us. Give us courage for our pilgrimage and bring us to the joys you promise. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace to go thankfully and with courage in the power of your Spirit. So now let's stand and sing our final hymn together. Let us sing to the God of salvation. For peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.